I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with Vanessa Perez. She's the director of the nonprofit Time for Change. Vanessa will share what Time for Change is and how it's changing the lives of women who have been incarcerated or face addiction or homelessness.
Everyone has different circumstances. They might be coming out of jail or prison. They might be coming from a domestic violence shelter. The criteria to bring a woman in is just that you have to be homeless. We help all homeless women and those with children.
She'll also talk about their upcoming gala titled, Oh, the Places She'll Go. This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Vanessa Perez. She is the director of the nonprofit organization Time for Change. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this organization started in 2002 here in San Bernardino. But what is Time for Change and what's its mission?
Time for Change Foundation's mission is to empower disenfranchised homeless individuals and families by building leadership through evidence-based supportive services and housing to create self-sufficiency and thriving communities.
Okay, so you sounded like an encyclopedia when you said that. So we're going to break that down just a little bit. Tell me about the different programs that you have. What's in place? And I know there's several of them. So
sure.
Tell me about them.
So the goal of Time for Change essentially is to help homeless women and children reach self-sufficiency. So we do that by providing them with housing and evidence-based supportive services. We have a continuum of housing. And what I mean by that is that we start with emergency shelters. So we have a Sweet Dreams shelter for women and children, and we have our Mountain View shelter for single women. And then we have our Homes of Hope program, which is 13 units of permanent supportive housing. So that transitions women from the emergency shelter state into their own apartment where they can thrive and support their children, but they're still receiving case management and support from the organization. In 2012, we became an affordable housing developer, and we developed the Phoenix Square Affordable Housing Apartment Building located in downtown San Bernardino.
How does the client find you? How do they reach out to you? What's the process?
Because we've been well established in the community, a lot of other service providers know about us, so they might send a referral for their clients. There's the 211 coordinated entry system, which people can call in and get resources. And then a lot of people have been through the program. They actually can reach out to other people in the community. They might have friends and family, or by word of mouth if they've been in other programs. And women just call on the phone, or they might come to the office, and we'll start off with a phone screen and then move forward from there to try to see how we can assist them.
Give me an example of a phone call you might get and how the process might work for them.
If a woman is in need, she will call our office, and what we'll do is just conduct an initial phone screen to determine what her needs are. What's her current state? Is she homeless? Does she have children? Does she have substance abuse history? Has she been in any other shelters? Is she currently living on the streets now? Is she in another program? Is she staying with people who are allowing her to stay there, but she really needs another place to go? Everyone has different circumstances. They might be coming out of jail or prison. They might be coming from a domestic violence shelter. The criteria to bring a woman in is just that you have to be homeless. So we don't only take women from prison. We don't only take women that are on the streets, but we help all homeless women and those with children.
So if they've been incarcerated for a while, they know they're going to be released. Does someone on that end tell them that there's this organization called Time for Change? Or do you reach out to them?
Mm-hmm. So we actually have an office in CIW Women's Prison, and we have a program called Positive Futures 2, where we work with women on the inside 4 months prior to release. And when they come out, our goal is to help them with reentry services, housing, eliminate recidivism, reunify them with their children, and really prevent further crime and recidivism for them, as well as substance abuse. And so we go in there on a regular basis. We meet the women. We pass out our flyers and business cards. And so the women inside know about us, and they've known about us for years. We've done resource fairs in the prisons and the jails. We have a lasting relationship with staff in the institutions. So when women are getting ready to release, they might be working with the staff inside, or they might have gotten a flyer from some of the other women that have met with us. And so they can write us letters in the mail, and then we'll just correspond through the mail until their release date.
And so I guess by being in the prison there and visiting, you start to build some kind of a relationship or trust mm-hmm. with each other. And then they don't feel as lost when they come out. They already have that relationship building.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I think that's important because when they see us and when they meet us face to face and they develop that relationship with us, then when they get released, then that relationship is what helps them stay with us. Because when a woman comes home from prison, whether she's been in there for a short amount of time or a long period of time, it's very different for them. They're uncomfortable. A lot of them have experienced trauma. They might have substance abuse, mental health, co-occurring disorders. And so that level of trust really helps them to be open and honest with us and to work together to help them. Additionally, our staff is very diverse in that we have staff members that have actual lived experience. So some have been incarcerated, some have experienced homeless. And then we have those that have education and have not had the lived experience. But the mixture helps build trust amongst the women, not just coming out of prison, but even the women that have been homeless, because they see that you have people here that are just like me, and they feel more comfortable to open up and to talk to them about what they really, really need.
So what is your training projects? What are some of the physical, or what are they really going to go through when they're getting training to be self-sufficient?
So we have our employment readiness training that we do with our women and entrepreneurship. And so one of the projects that we've been working on with formerly incarcerated women of color is to help them go from what I like to call jobs to careers. And a lot of these women have felony convictions and past criminal histories. And so it's hard to gain decent employment when they're coming out and have their records. And so we're working with them to develop opportunities for entrepreneurship, to help them go through Prop 47, felony reductions or expungements on their records, because one of the main reasons why some of them go back to jail or prison is because they can't find decent employment to take care of their families, and they go back into crime in those same cycles. And so the employment training is what we do. We do life skills, financial education, and money management. We do parenting education, mommy and me, mother-child bonding, because a lot of them have CFS cases, or their kids might have been taken away from them. We work on that mother-child bond to help them have healthy family reunification. Additionally, we have life skills, 12-step education. We're a licensed drug and alcohol outpatient program. And so just continuous wraparound supportive services to make sure that they have the support that they need so that they don't go back.
My guest is Vanessa Perez. She is the director of the nonprofit organization Time for Change. So can you give me an example of a participant that has gone through the program?
Yes. We had a woman come into our program. Her name is Katrina. She came with her three younger children. And unfortunately, she had an 18-year-old son, which we can't bring adult men into the program. So she had to be separated from him for a short period of time. But Katrina was so diligent in everything that she was doing. And prior to coming to Time for Change, she was living in a motel room with her kids. She was addicted to alcohol. And she spent most of her time in the bathroom crying, is what she shares with us, because she didn't want her children to see the way that she was living. And so finally, she made the decision to call Time for Change. And so when we brought her in, we were able to provide that stable housing for her and her three younger children. So when she came to Time for Change Foundation, she was able to get her kids plugged into school, and we were able to provide that stable housing that her and her children needed. She moved so quickly and she grew so fast after 9 months of just being in our program. We were able to transition her into her own apartment. So today she lives in her apartment with her children, and she was actually able to bring her 18-year-old son home with her to live with them together. It's a great story because this is the struggle that so many women are facing. And so now Katrina is a full-time student at San Bernardino Valley College, and she's actually going for accounting, and she has a part-time job at a local grocery store. So she's working hard, she's going to school, her kids are doing great and they're thriving, and her oldest son is actually starting community college as well.
I'm speaking with Vanessa Perez, the director of Time for Change. I asked her how she got involved with this organization.
So I've actually been with Time for Change for 7 years now. I started off as an intern in a communications department. And what really struck me about this organization is we're not just your typical shelter. We provide homes for our families, and we provide a safe, stable place that is nurturing and supportive. Additionally, we do leadership development and advocacy, and we build up the women in our program to become leaders. They're getting this stabilization and they're getting these resources, but they're also being empowered to use their voice and to be civically engaged. And that is what really inspired me to really want to be a part of what we're doing. So as I've seen women go through this leadership development training and go through our housing programs, I have been so impressed because we've literally taken women who have come in and they might have been abused and traumatized and just so shut down. But after being empowered, after going through our employment classes and building their confidence, they come out just thriving and successful. So one example I'd like to give you, her name is Sarita, and she came into our program from another drug treatment program. She has a total of 6 children, and 5 of them are with her mother. And when she went into that last drug treatment program, she was pregnant. And after she had her baby, they actually took the baby away until she was able to complete her program. But what we learned about her when she came to our program is that she actually completed 3 drug treatment programs, and everything that the courts asked her to do, she did it 3 times. And so when she came to Time for Change, it was a little rough in the beginning but we work with her. And so she was able to let some of those things go. And we told her everything that you're letting go of today, we're going to give to you brand new. We just need you to work with us and move forward. So step by step, she came into our single women's shelter and she started with 2-hour visits with her son. And those increased to 8-hour visits, to overnights, to full weekends, until finally we went to court with her and the judge granted her full custody of her son. And she was able to bring him home that day. So today, Sarita is a leader, and we've actually brought her on staff because of her leadership abilities. And she's our policy advocate, where she's training other women to have a voice, to go to Sacramento, to do policy advocacy. And she's living in our Phoenix Square affordable housing, and she's able to live with her son, and she's still working on reunification with her 5 other children. So we work with families and women to help them reunify with their children, whether it's CFS cases. We really work with the CFS workers to ensure that they're in a safe, stable, clean, and nurturing environment, and that they will have space to bring their children to, because one of the stipulations of not being able to bring your children home is not having a stable place to live. And so that's what we provide at Time for Change for our women.
Can you talk a little bit about the founder and the ambassador of this HOPE program, Kim Carter, and her background?
Yes, definitely. So Kim started Time for Change Foundation actually out of her own home. She cycled in and out of prison through her younger years. She had a daughter and she wasn't able to take care of her. And so one of the last times she was in prison, she had the opportunity to become part of a pilot program, which is a drug treatment program out of Cedar House. And so when she got there, she realized that she wasn't a bad person, she was a sick person. And so when she got the treatment that she needed, she was able to maintain her sobriety, get her own place, become stable. She started working. She actually graduated with her associate's degree in accounting from San Bernardino Valley College. Mm-hmm. And she worked for the National Orange Show. And while she was there, she felt God leading her to help women that were just like her. So she left her job, she left her health insurance and income security, and she started Time for Change Foundation. And since then, that was 17 years ago, we have went from 1 6-bed shelter to 2 emergency shelters to 13 units of permanent supportive housing to affordable housing. And we actually just opened up a brand new home in the city of Hayward, California for women and children. So we've expanded our services. Kim has a history of homelessness. She has a history of substance abuse. She has these histories of going in and out of incarceration. And so being homeless and being through the very things that our women have gone through have really helped create a stable foundation in knowing how to really help the women with what they need, because she's been through it herself.
And how many women do you think have gone through the program in 18 years that it's been going on?
We've actually helped over 1,200 homeless women and children become self-sufficient since our inception, and we've reunited 282 children out of foster care back with their moms.
And we know no program is perfect, and we know no program out there is going to solve everybody's problems. Have you had repeat clients that maybe don't make it the first time around, but maybe the second time around it works?
What I can say about that is we're called Time for Change for a reason, because it is a place to change. And so sometimes if you're not ready to fully change, you're not ready to let go of the past, of the relationships, of the drugs, whatever the situation is, if you're not fully ready to let that go, then you're not gonna be able to be changed the way that we can change you. We have a recipe of success. We know how to end homelessness, and we have a very high success rate. So if the individual is not ready or willing, we always like to say, you know, we're not a jail. We don't hold no hostages. You know, if you're ready to change and you want something different in your life, then we are the place where we can do that for you. But it's not us making you do it. It's you being willing and working with us and us working together to help put you back on your feet and maintain stability and self-sufficiency.
My guest is Vanessa Perez. She is the director of the nonprofit organization Time for Change. I'm sure a lot has changed since Kim first started, when it was herself and probably volunteers helping her along the way. Now you have a full staff and volunteers. Is your staff a full paid staff?
Yes, we have 15 staff, actually, and lots of volunteers coming in. We get a lot of students, whether from Valley College or the universities in the surrounding area, but we do have a lot of support. A lot has changed. When I came on board, there was actually 5 staff, and so we've grown immensely since I've been here, even in these last 7 years. We've gained 2 federal grant support programs. In 2012, we actually were awarded 2 federal awards from the Department of HUD and the Department of SAMHSA, and those were to help our permanent supportive housing women with case management and supportive services. And then our SAMHSA project was the Positive Futures, where we were helping women reenter society. And since then, that program actually succeeded with the 0% recidivism rate. And so just this past year, 2018, we were awarded that project again.
Nice.
Through SAMHSA. And so now we're operating that, and that's what we're doing to help women coming out of jail and in prison.
As a nonprofit, we know that you have to raise money, and you just talked about grants. Let's talk about your gala that's coming up. It's the 17th annual gala, Oh, the Places She'll Go. It's on Friday, April 12th, and it's in Ontario. Tell me about it.
So each year we host our annual awards gala, where we bring a collective of community members, community stakeholders, elected officials, and we've even had celebrities like Taylor Schilling come in the past. And so this year we're really, really excited because we're celebrating Oh, the Places She'll Go. So we're going to be looking back over these last 17 years and seeing, where is she now and how is she doing now? And so we're excited to have women throughout the years who have been alumni since even before I've been with the organization, just to come and share their success stories, and we can see, where are they now? And we're really, really excited. Like you said, it's Friday, April 12th at the DoubleTree Hotel in Ontario from 6 to 8 p.m. I love this event because, number one, we get to highlight the success of the agency. We get to highlight the success of the women and how they're able to overcome their obstacles in life and become self-sufficient. And we're honoring some outstanding community members. And so this is really a time for us to not only congratulate the women, but also look at those in the community that have supported us throughout the years. Because we know that as a nonprofit agency, we don't live on an island and we can't do this work alone. You mentioned volunteers, but there's also outstanding community members who are making a difference, whether it be through financial contributions, whether it be through volunteering, or whether it be through the activities that they're doing with other organizations and other people in the community through those specific causes. And so I'm excited to be honoring Elders James and Rowena Ramos of the Samuel Band of Mission Indians. We're honoring Dr. Roger Hadley of Loma Linda University. We're honoring Mayor Deborah Robertson of the City of Rialto. Blue Educational Foundation, Carlos and Audrey Martinez, who have been tremendous contributors to the community, and tons more. So you can definitely find more information about our gala by visiting our website at www.timeforchangefoundation.org.
Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing Time for Change. Their event is Friday, April 12th in Ontario at the Doubletree. It's Oh, the Places She'll Go. For more information, you can go to their website. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
To learn more about Time for Change or their upcoming gala, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. The month of March is Women's History Month. To celebrate the accomplishments of female pioneers throughout history, we'll hear about a woman who defied the odds in the science field. KVCR's Sharina Wadd has her story.
Dr. Jemison became the first African-American woman in space on September 12, 1992, when she embarked on an 8-day mission aboard the Endeavour. Jemison wasn't always taken seriously as both a female and minority in her field, but she wasn't deterred. Her advice? Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations. And limited she was not. In addition to being selected for the NASA astronaut program, she's also a physician, dancer, teacher, earned a doctorate in medicine at age 25, has 9 honorary doctorates, and speaks 4 languages. She was also the first astronaut to appear on Star Trek. The first real astronaut, that is. Dr. Jemison currently leads the 100-year Starship Project, which aims to make human space travel beyond our solar system a possibility within the next 100 years. Through various programs, she encourages and inspires youth to pursue STEM learning. There's little doubt they will follow in her zero-gravity footsteps, pushing past the current boundaries of interstellar travel. For Lifestyles, I'm Sharina Wadd.
I am woman, hear me roar. In numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look.
Dr. Mae Jemison is still working to break ground in her field today. To find out more about her latest accomplishments, you can visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. That's our show. To hear any past interviews, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. While you're on our webpage, leave me a message or a suggestion for a topic that interests you. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wadd, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Ethan Bortnick provides our theme music. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.